Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're here for a morning episode on a Thursday morning. Good morning to you, Danny. Oh, there's some coffee. I see it there. It's a coffee cast, another one on Charlotte Soccer Show. It's great to see you this morning, Danny.
Love a coffee cast. Love to be here on the morning with you, Johnny. Just got through the car line at school. Long nights, busy days ahead, but glad to sit for a little bit and talk about crazy preseason happenings for Charlotte FC that have got everyone hyped in the city. Almost as hyped as this Summit coffee that I'm drinking, which not an official sponsor of the pod bag.
Oh, I see a couple sips out of that coffee. It's early in the morning for sure while we're doing this episode. I'm curious to see how spicy your takes get as that coffee cup drains out of the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As this level goes down. Yeah.
I've got myself a nice cup of English breakfast black tea this morning to get me going. But the good news is, Danny, you know, forget about the caffeine. Right now, Charlotte FC has some serious energy. And it's coming from the Ivory Coast. It's Wilfried Zaha, Danny. It's official. He's been announced as Charlotte FC's new designated player. We touched on this on our last episode. We knew it was happening, and we discussed it. But now that it's an official, and we've seen Charlotte FC colors on Wilfried Zaha, the Explore kit, he has that kit on, the same one that you're wearing right now on this YouTube show. Danny, he wore the kit. He played in a friendly match. I just right off the bat here, I want to hear what kind of vibe you're feeling towards the expectations for this guy, because he's walking into a situation where he's probably expected to perform at a very high level.
The expectations are MLS MVP. You know, like is that setting too high of a bar? The guys come in for sure, and like you said, added a lot of energy to the scene, the preseason scene. Brant Bronico talked about him. So Brant Bronico talked to the media just yesterday, and one of the first questions to him was about Zaha. And before he even answered the question, his face lit up. You know, he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, we got something. We just in the first few days of camp, I think the teammates can see something special is there." So that was a good sign for me. That's also a good sign. This, you know, maybe take this as karma or whatever it is, but John, you and I talking about a signing that's imminent and just about to happen, and then it actually happens. Like, that's, you know, that's just right there. There's new ground being broken, and congrats to Zorn and all the crew for actually wrapping that thing up mid-transfer window, getting him in for training camp so that Brant Bronico and those guys can do those odd reactions, and like this team can be cohesive. Right. Leal Abad is in camp for, you know, to start the season. This Karol Swiderski is out. We're going to talk about that later in this episode. But, you know, just like the cohesion compared to this time last year, it's night and day, Johnny. And Dino's still at the wheel.
Zoran needs to be given credit for that. The transfer window saga for this club has always been wait until the last minute, get players in, and then they're not necessarily fit and ready to go for the start of the season. That didn't happen this year, so we need to make sure that we give Zoran Cornetta, Bobby Belair, the entire front, you know, the scouting department, the sporting side. Who else we want to give credit to?
They're always in for a lot of stick when things don't work out exactly the way the fans expect or want. So yeah, give them some credit for this one for sure.
MLS MVP as a season expectation for Wilfried Zaha, Danny, I think it's more than fair. You're talking about a guy who, we went over this, has over 300 appearances in the Premier League.
Right. 50 goals in three seasons or something like that, or just like, I forget the exact stat, but he's a goal scorer. He's a goal creator. He's a touch of class, you know, from the Premier League. Still at age 32, you know, 33, like, that's not too old. You can probably go back and find tape of me saying, 32, 33 is way too old. But at this point, you know, I maybe because I'm feeling a little older myself, Johnny, I don't know. But like, I don't got any beef with a guy in his early 30s coming in who's had a couple years of limited action and sort of maybe some regeneration of his body. He did have, tend to be injury prone at Crystal Palace. He would miss a game here, game there, three games here, three matches there with little things. So, you know, maybe at this point in his life and with a little bit of better maintenance, he's learning to, you know, take care of that situation a little bit more and be a little bit more reliable. But there's no doubting like what the talent is he can bring to this club.
You've heard from us. I think you're going to continue to hear from us about Wilfried Zaha this year. He's somebody that we're going to be covering very closely.
That better be the case. Yeah, shit.
You know, even if it doesn't go that well, which, you know, it's always a possibility. You can't just.
The floor. I'm talking about ceiling when I say MLS.
Absolutely. So we're going to cover the spectrum no matter where it lands. But enough from us. I think it's important and exciting to hear from the man himself. Here he was after a friendly match that I believe finished 0-0. It was the first friendly that Zaha played in for the Crown, and he talked to our friend, Woody Wilder, after the match.
Will, your first 45 in Charlotte colors, just your thoughts on the day?
A little bit frustrating because I feel like we could have played a little bit better, but that's what preseason's for, and I think there's room to improve over the next coming weeks.
Yep, and you've been here for about a week now with the team. Just your overall thoughts on how this week has gone for you?
It's gone well, to be honest. Integrated well with the team. It's a nice group, and yeah, I'm just getting back into the swing of things, really. So yeah, it's been good for me.
Great to hear him speak with that. Are they doing preseason camp in Minnesota or Florida?
It definitely did not look like Florida from some of those skies. Yeah, wasn't that on Florida I was expecting to see.
Florida cold hits differently. I've been told that by people that live down in Florida. It hits differently. For Zaha, let me just give credit to Woody, though, for that. That's courtesy of Charlotte FC. The full interview you can see on charlottefc.com. Go to their platforms and Woody did a great job stepping up to do these preseason post-match interviews. What'd you think? You asked questions. He usually doesn't, but now he's asking questions. You got any feedback
someday,
for him?
Yeah, someday Woody will run the whole damn shooting match because he's just that type of guy for sure, and he'll step in and do whatever's needed doing. It's pretty cool to hear his voice lobbing some classic your thoughts questions at Willie's Zaha. So I don't know. I know what Woody's really doing in his spare time right now is writing chants for Zaha that he's going to try to filter into the supporter section. You know, he loves to do that too. But
let's talk about what Wilfried said: assimilating into the club, integrating into the team.
Perfect answers. Yeah, like exactly what I want to hear from him is we could do better. If he came in and said, "Oh, these guys are we look amazing after a 0-0 45 minutes against I think Nashville that they played," like. Yeah, like I would be kind of low key about it too, for sure. And he was, and that's good. But he looked, you know, you can tell from like he's got his whole social media team mobilized and motivated, and they're posting all kinds of content from his, you know, American adventure. So he's really embracing it. Hearing that accent, you know, hearing him speak made me think of, you know, what Scotty Arfield told us last year, which was like, it's a very British preseason. You know, those rainy, cold skies in Florida might have felt a little British to Willie and Dino and some of the British invasion in our roster and locker room. Like, so bring another one in is good, you know, why not, you know? And I welcome the fact that this guy's going to potentially connect. If he has big success, like, I think he's going to connect with fans really well because he's just – people love to hear, you know, Dino bring his British flair to the commentary here. And I think that'll be appreciated on Zaha's part too. It's like as an intangible, just saying like the guy's got it all laid out for him to really be a huge splash here.
It's a great point. I think Ashley Westwood, you can discuss his impact potentially.
Wilfried Zaha, I didn't forget about the captain. Come on now.
Right. And we've heard that from the past that when Charlotte signs a new player, you know, a player like this, sure, you saw Dean and you saw Zoran out for dinner and welcoming Wilf to town. And I think that's appropriate at a high level signing like this. But you know where that next step is? The trickle down lands right on Ashley Westwood's desk. He's next up in line to get Zaha in and assimilated into this team, to talk to him about the club culture and his personal ambition. And it's important to note that Wilf Zaha is somebody that people have negative opinions about. People think that he can be somebody that is not a locker room guy, that can be individualistic. People criticize Wilfried Zaha for that. I'm interested to see how that plays out. People think maybe he might be past it, including one of the United States men's national team's most legendary players. Listen to this clip from Landon Donovan, Danny.
Our news sounds like Charlotte FC are in talks with Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
I don't like it personally. I don't know how you feel.
Okay.
Not a fan of it just seems like he's past it. Once he went to Galatasaray, felt like that was the end. But God, is he talented, man.
There's Landon Donovan. I just want to play that again one more time because the question in his voice, I think, is super interesting. The way that his inflection states about Zaha to Charlotte.
Our news sounds like Charlotte FC are in talks with Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
It's like like it's like he's shocked. It's like it's like that he's had never even had thought for a second that Charlotte FC could land a player like Wilfried Zaha, because as he mentions at the end of the clip, he is so talented.
Yeah.
And this is a huge signing for a club like Charlotte FC. And quite frankly, I think Landon Donovan surprised that he just saw that.
And
his reaction was just like, oh, he's past it.
That was before it became official, right? Yeah, that quote was from before the time that it became official. Yeah, Landy Cakes. Gotta love Landy Cakes. I mean, mercurial maybe is always the charitable word that I use to describe people who have also been called negative or bad locker room guys or whatever. But I don't know if Landon's comments really reflect a belief that move would get done, you know. I really don't know, but because like he said, super talented. He did end the quote with the bottom line, which is that he's super talented, and this is a guy who can come in. And you talk about Ashley Westwood, what falls at his desk, what are one of the cliches of office culture these days is, you know, your reward for good work is more work will be given to you. Well, you know, great season in 2024, Ashley Westwood, you know, boom, here's your new assignment dropped on your desk. Like, integrate this guy into the squad who some people, you know, legends don't even believe can come in and be part of the a winning club culture. It's like, you know, Landon mentioned he went to Galatasaray. Landon, you know, maybe didn't talk about how he went to Lyon also. And just like, it's been a kind of a year or two in the wilderness now for Wilf. And, we're all sitting here, fingers crossed, crowns up, that this is like the landing spot that he needs to sort of rebound and get back to like just focusing this next phase of his career on that talent that is so good and recognized by everyone. And Westwood's going to be a big part of making that happen, like you said.
Need to make sure that I give a shout out to, I believe it's Soccer Unfiltered. It's a new podcast. It's Landon Donovan and Tim Howard. I would sign up to listen to that show. I mean, what a great connection. You think back to one of the most legendary World Cup goals, started with Tim Howard and finished with Landon Donovan. I think it's a fun idea to put those two together on a podcast. And we'll see. And we'll continue to monitor what's being said about Wilfried Zaha on that show, because it seems like Landon Donovan has kind of, you know, put his stake in the ground and said he doesn't really think that this is going to work out because Wilfried Zaha has passed it. And quite frankly, if Zaha shows up at the Fortress and looks like he's passed it, that would be one of the most disappointing things to happen for Charlotte FC so far. What would be worse, right? What would be worse? A player like Zaha coming in and not living up to these high expectations, or Enzo Capetti coming in, a complete no-name, with huge expectations and not even getting started and ultimately not being with the club? Like, which one's worse?
John, he led the Argentinian league in goals scored the year before he came here, you know? Don't mention the fact that it was like a huge outlier and it was the only time he had ever scored like double-digit goals ever or something like that. But he had one really good season in Argentina, Enzo Capetti, before we threw the bag at him. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about accomplishment? A guy who left Crystal Palace as their all-time leading Premier League goal scorer. I think he's since been surpassed. But like, when he is on, he's on. And in the English Premier League, not a joke league. Yeah. Not saying other leagues are jokes, but I'm saying, you know, this is the PL is the freaking big leagues of this game. So yeah, like
I can't get over the way he says this.
Our news sounds like Charlotte FC are in talks with Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
Wilfried Zaha? We need a drop. We just need a drop of that. Yeah, exactly. Just to be able to play that at any time is amazing. You know, and shout out to anyone who's listening to this on a podcast platform. But if you can't see what we just saw, but you're hearing it. But if you're watching on YouTube, you saw, I love Tim Howard's setup there. Play it one more time for yourself so you can hear it, Johnny. But I'm watching Tim Howard and his reaction to like what Landon is saying, and like his whole hoodie and headphones get up is rocking for him.
Our news sounds like Charlotte FC are in talks with Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
I don't like it personally. I don't know how you feel.
Okay.
Not a fan of, it just seems like he's past it. Once he went to Galatasaray, felt like that was the end, but God, is he talented, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I love it. That's how I talk. Whenever I'm listening to someone in a conversation, I'm always throwing in those little interjects.
Listen, I'm not trying to throw Landon Donovan under the bus. I'm not. I think what I'm trying to do is bring different viewpoints to the show, and I think it's important to share them and kind of make note that the discussion about Wilfried Zaha is out there. I think what would be special to do and dive into the show. Go listen to Soccer Unfiltered and hear what Tim Howard has to say in response to that. I think that's important to do. I don't want to rip their entire podcast and put it on this show, but I think hearing what Landon Donovan had to say about, Tim Howard, and Tim Howard about Wilfried Zaha is super interesting to me. So there's a microscope on this situation, Danny. We're going to keep talking about this. We'll cover Wilfried Zaha. We're not going to take preseason matches too seriously. I think whatever happens in the preseason, win or loss, doesn't matter. I think health is the most important thing. And as of right now, the team seems pretty healthy. And ultimately, that's what the goal is, to stay fit, to stay healthy, and show up at Seattle for the first match of the season with a full squad ready to go. And then play the derby against Atlanta on Saturday afternoon, March 1st, I believe it is, right here in the Queen City. So that we're counting down to that.
That's already the hottest ticket in town.
Saturday, I agree.
March 1st. On January 29th, you can say that Saturday, March 1st is what the whole city is looking forward to. I would have to biasedly say, but I know why you had Landon and Timmy on your brain, John, is because the U.S. men's national team is resurgent and is at the top of a lot of American soccer fans' minds. And when they're thinking about the U.S. men's national team right now, they're thinking about Charlotte FC thanks to the exploits of our guy. Big pass.
And now it comes towards Adjiman. Adjiman racing towards the edge of the box, and he scored! On his debut, Patrick Adjiman with a goal. Two goals in 2 minutes for Mauricio Pochettino's side.
So that he spent a lot of his, career, whether it's playing with or whether it's reaching out to, that's a line in that is better than Y Scout or anything else.
Adjiman here around the back of the defense. Adjiman! Goals in back-to-back games for Patrick Adjiman. He is on the rise.
For me, it's the experience. I can't put to words how it felt to be here. And to be coached by Pochettino, it's kind of crazy. Like you tell me when I'm 17 years old, I'm gonna be coached by him at some point, and be like, "What are you talking about?" So it's definitely a dream come true in terms of being in an environment that's this professional, and to be able to represent the country and enjoy the game I like to do and score goals and have fun. It's just a blessing. So for me now, it's I want to come back. I want to be back again. And I know for me, I need to step my game up when I go back to Charlotte and not take the foot off the gas.
We talked about Patrick Adjiman's United States men's national team debut on our last episode. And wow, did he have a phenomenal January camp, Danny. How impressed are you with Patrick Adjiman's two goals for the United States men's national team, his first two goals, and then his commentary after camp?
He is on the rise. I love that call. Great call on the second goal against Costa Rica there. I mean, Patty Adjiman, man, call Pat. They decided to finally call Pat, make it happen. And he's delivered. He scored on his debut, a match he started against Venezuela. We talked about that. Costa Rica, he comes in as a late sub. and, you know, gets a cherry on top goal. Maybe you could say Costa Rica was a little bit beaten down, but they don't want to concede in the 90th minute of a friendly that they're already losing. So they're not giving away goals there. And he went and took one and got one. And that goal against Costa Rica really was so nice. It reminded me so much of the goal against Nashville last May at the Bank of America Stadium, where he had the only goal in a 1-0 win. And it was that same moving, taking a pass. The pass came from the wing against Nashville. From here, it came a little bit more centrally, but taking a pass, running away from goal towards the corner flag and just turning and firing with the left and putting it in. It's just like a kind of becoming a go-to move for him, you can see. So that's pretty encouraging. The quotes you mentioned at the end where he's like, I just got to keep it going as I go back to Charlotte now. That's really encouraging.
When he was seven, he said, if you would have told me when I was 17, I would be coached by this guy, Mauricio Pochettino.
So when he's watching Pochettino at 17, that's like what, 28, 17?
It's when Pochettino was flying at Tottenham.
Yes, exactly. I'm teeing you up for that. And so you got to feel like you and Patrick have a little something in common, which is an appreciation for Pochettino Spurs that will never die.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about Mauricio Pochettino, somebody who took a Premier League side, Tottenham, to the Champions League final. Unbelievably impressive. What Pochettino was able to do with Harry Kane, with Heung-Min Son, with so many great players that came through and went on to have great careers. And players up top, a guy like Harry Kane specifically that – I think Harry Kane and Patrick Aujemont have a pretty similar skill set.
Really?
I do.
How so?
They both play the position in a very similar way, which is total domination of the
yeah.
box. And it takes, strikers who are able to, in baseball, used to call a player, and this was way back in the day, baseball's changed. There's so few players like this left, but, when someone like Barry Bonds came into Major League Baseball, he was a five-tool player. He could do it all. He could run. He could hit bombs. He could play great defense. He was a player that just had everything. And Harry Kane is a striker like that. He's very good with the ball at his feet. He has pace. He's good in the air, and he sees the field very well. And he's a leader on the field too. Patrick Aujemong has that same skill set. He's very good with the ball at his feet. He's got great feet. He's very good in the air. He's a dominating presence in the box. So I think when Patrick Aujemong goes and trains with Mauricio Pochettino at the United States men's national team, Poch is coaching Pat in the same way that he coached Harry Kane, which is pretty cool. He clearly came to that Orlando match. Pochettino, I'm talking about Mauricio Pochettino, the United States men's national team manager in his first season with USA. He clearly identified Patrick Aujemong as somebody that he was super interested in, showed up in the Orlando game. And it's really nice to see that Poch's scouting was spot on. He got it right. Patrick Aujemong deserved to be in this camp because he can perform at a high level. The question is, and a lot of people know this, and so maybe some people don't, that the January camp typically is the camp that, players on the fringes get an opportunity. There's no international break. You don't have a full squad to use. So I think the next question becomes, can Patrick Aujemong get into the United States men's national team during its next camp when an international break is happening? If that happens, Danny, then I think that we can seriously talk about Pat potentially having a chance to be on the World Cup roster in 2026. But right now he's doing what's required to be able to start that conversation. But I don't want to go there yet, but I'm encouraged. Are you?
Very encouraged. Love the thought of 26 looming with Pat in the shirt. Even on the bench would be amazing. But imagining Patrick Aujemong in the shirt in the 2026 World Cup is insane. But right now, a little closer to a proximity that we care about, maybe a little more in the immediate window, is how's he going to pair with Wilf Zaha? And, you brought this idea up that it's a long been a staple idea on the show, 4-4-2. Like, can we get Aujemong and Zaha playing together, even if
it's billed as, you know, Dean's typical setup. Does it become a 4-4-2 in practice with the way these guys would play together?
Well, I think we should ask, you know, our friend. It's one of those things, Danny. We've used this many times on the show. We talked about the 4-4-2. We have. And it's pretty simple. When you need to roll out a team out there and you've got two players who can play up top, Roy Kent knows it best. You can play the 4-4-2, Danny. And I, you know, for me, when I see Ajimong and Zaha up top in a 4-4-2 formation, I'm like joking about this, and I love this screenshot. It's fun to use on the show. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to last year and you think about Dean Smith's tactics and you realize that that formation really did morph into a 4-4-2 towards the end of the season with Brant Bronico actually playing up top in that 4-4-2 mm-hmm. position.
Yeah.
This Wilfried Zaha, his signing has given Charlotte FC the ability to play a 4-4-2 with two strikers at the top. Now, when we say that, I think some feedback could potentially be, well, what does that mean for Liel Abada? What does that mean for somebody who is expected to play on the wing? I think Liel Abada plays in the midfield. I think he plays out wide in the midfield, and he can push up, and the formation can morph into a 4-3-3 pretty easily.
But he can still make those runs.
But Liel Abada needs to work on his defensive ability in order to get into this team. And to me, that's soccer. That's soccer. You have to deal with that. And I think if Charlotte FC has the ability to not be boring this year, and instead of sitting back, they've got a chance to play front foot football with two of the best goal scorers in MLS this year. It's unbelievably exciting. And that 4-4-2 for me feels like a good way to get Wilfried Zaha and Patrick Ajimong connected up top.
Yeah, I am of the similar mind of like year one of Dean Smith was him like coming in and fixing the defensive issues and like setting a defensive identity. But I don't think that's how he truly wants to live. I think Dean wants, you know, in his perfect vision of what the club is doing, there's a little bit more of a focus on attack and front foot football, like you said. And I think in year two, this is a little bit, and with this personnel, it's a little bit more of a chance to put that into practice. We hope. And, you know, the thing of it is, one good thing we wanted to also talk about this morning is the chance that there's a chance to maybe experiment a little more with some different lineup ideas in these extra competitions, because the good news of all announcements, Charlotte FC is back in the U.S. Yeah. Open Cup. Last year, they sent Crown Legacy to play in the Cup. They didn't go far, and everyone just walked away from what's, you know, one of the most storied competitions on this continent's history and, you know, on this globe's history. And, like, people walked to our – like, the U.S. Open Cup became a point of contention for everybody instead of a point of celebration. And it's still not every MLS team is back in it, but Charlotte FC is in it, so we're happy, at least in this corner of the soccer universe, that U.S. Open Cup is back in our lives for 2025.
I'll raise my hand and say I'm more of a Charlotte FC fan than I am an MLS fan. So I don't really care what other MLS clubs are in U.S. Open Cup. I just care if Charlotte FC is in Open Cup.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you put it really nicely there when you said Crown Legacy was in the Open Cup last year and didn't go far. The way I would put it was that Crown Legacy embarrassed the club last year in the U.S. Open Cup. And it was a complete embarrassment.
Come on, man.
Anyway, here's who is in all these different cups from MLS. You can see Charlotte FC is going to be playing in the League's Cup. They're going to be playing in the U.S. Open Cup, and of course, they're going to be playing in the MLS regular season, the domestic league here in North America. So they're playing in three competitions, and that's fantastic. And the reason why you want to play in more competitions, and the reason why you don't want to roll out your B squad in these competitions, is because you're playing for trophies, and Charlotte FC's trophy cabinet is completely empty. And because of that, the club's first and foremost goal.
It's got a goalkeeper of the year trophy, John. There's a goalkeeper of the year trophy in there.
Yes, there is. There's individual awards. There's individual awards, absolutely. But ultimately, from a team point of view, I think Charlotte FC's first and foremost goal has to be to figure out a way to get some hardware, to get some silverware, and start building the legacy that is Charlotte FC. And I think the U.S. Open Cup gives Charlotte FC a great opportunity to do that in 2025. I'm really excited about that. And Leagues Cup as well. Charlotte FC has had some nice runs in the Leagues Cup. Let's see what they can do in 2026. Ultimately, though, you see that CONCACAF Champions Cup over there? No Charlotte FC. That's the goal, too. To have a really nice season in 2026. So maybe you can bump out of the U.S. Open Cup next year and head towards the Champions Cup and the Leagues Cup and play in those three competitions as well. I'm okay with not playing in the U.S. Open Cup as long as you're playing in two other cups. What I don't want to ever happen again is Charlotte FC only to play in two competitions. That's not good enough.
Yeah. That you can't win a treble if you're not even in the competition. You know, we're trying to win stuff here. I agree.
We're going to be talking about Leagues Cup on this show. We're going to be talking about Open Cup on this show. We've got a lot of interviews coming down the pipe. We just wanted to get back for these first couple weeks of the season. So pumped that the TIFOs are back. We're going to answer your questions on the next episode. I'm sorry we ran out of time this morning, but we've got one last thing to do.
Are we lining up any interviews with this guy?
With who?
With King, the King. King Carroll, is he on the interview docket?
Oh, no. All we're, you know, very simply for Carroll, we're saying farewell. So long. Thank Carroll Swiderski officially has made a permanent transfer into the Greek League. And isn't that where he came from?
Yeah, came from Greece back to Greece.
I would unfortunately identify that as a failure from the player's point of view. I think Carol Swiderski left the Greek league to come to Charlotte FC to enhance his career, to play for Poland in the Euros, to play for Poland in the World Cup. He still has a chance to do that. But I think from a club perspective, he was hoping to move to a top five league. He had that experience at Verona, but now he's back in the Greek league. And I'll be interested to see how well his stint goes there and whether he can continue to push his way forward and try to get into a European top league. So farewell, Carol Swiderski. You'll always be remembered as the first DP signing in club history. You'll always be remembered for helping this club get off the ground to launch and play games. And for that, I think people will always remember Carroll. That being said, with time, I think he will fade into club history and not really be remembered for anything he did on the field.
A lot of great moments. I'd be remiss not to just think about free kick goals versus New England in the first season, comeback goals against Chicago in the second season, the footwork. We talked about this guy is dangerous. We talked about this guy is elite with some of the stuff he can do where he's just like continuing to work. When he was on, scored the go-ahead goal that should have been a game winner in game three of the first round playoff series against Orlando last year. You know, should be remembered for that. Unfortunately, that game will be remembered for a loss in a penalty shootout instead. But was connecting well with Pep at the end of the season. Was the king of probably the best player in behind closed doors early season scrimmages ever. Like, Carroll's just connecting with this guy. Carroll's just connecting with that guy. Oh, this guy's building a great connection with Carroll. Was always like the word you would get coming out of like these games that no one got to watch. So always kind of funny, but just didn't really ever truly connect with fans. And I think fans went the way a lot of fans, myself included. And I'm like less of a Carroll fan than I was at some point. There's other people in fan base that have always kept the faith with Carroll and never lost the faith. And that's fine too. Wherever you fit on that spectrum works. But like, I think more than enough fans did more than enough to like try to build something with this guy, and he never like came the full way himself. He made some steps in that direction, but didn't always like get there. So that for that reason, I tend to agree with you that he will eventually fade because he never really like became a true fan favorite other than for the fact of his status as that first DP and his ability to score some pretty important goals and do some pretty awesome things out there at times.
I've made this comparison in the past where a player like Sebastian Letou has gone down in Philadelphia Union history as a player that was picked in the Sebastian Letou was picked in the 09 MLS expansion draft by Philadelphia Union. He went on to make 175 appearances, 185 appearances for the Philadelphia Union, went on to score 50 goals and played for the club for 5-6 years. That is the type of effort and requirement that makes you a club legend when you launch a team, right? 2 years, 3 years, right? How many goals did Carroll score with Charlotte FC? Nowhere near 50.
Yeah, two and a half years, I'd say, give good credit for. And
yeah,
some important goals.
Important goals is right. So, you know, I see 71 appearances and 28 goals.
Yeah, one of my favorite assists ever.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put it into perspective. Almost 200 appearances, 50 goals, starting a new club. That makes you a club legend. 2.5 years, not even 100 appearances, 25 goals. You're only halfway there. Carroll Swiderski, if he wanted to go down in Charlotte FC's history books, he had to commit himself to this project for right. a good five years. He could barely commit himself to this project for a year. Remember, he was the one that said he wasn't willing to play for or didn't want to play for Miguel Angel Ramirez.
Yeah.
And he made that known. And he was the one that wanted to go play and take his career back to a top five league in Europe. He never really settled here. So farewell, Carroll Swiderski. Right. You're a player that we will respect, no doubt about that. And we appreciate, you know, everything that you gave the Charlotte FC and good luck in Greece. And maybe the Polish national team will come in to the World Cup in 2026 and Carroll will play. I'm on U.S. soil amazing. Once more. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brams. You can follow us on social everywhere. Blue Sky, X, Instagram, Threads, YouTube. You can follow me on X as well. John Hayes on air. You can follow Danny on Blue Sky. Charlotte FC and Charlotte Soccer Show. We're going to continue to talk about this club. We're going to have a great season. We're going to answer Tifo's questions. Maybe next episode, Danny, is a Tifo's questions episode. Not enough time to get to him today. So
maybe we'll do it quick. Maybe it could come down the pipe real quick, you know, in the next few days. You never know.
Yeah, let's do maybe some Tifo's questions this weekend, if we can, to kick off next week with that episode. But in the meantime, Danny, it's great to see you this morning. Hope you have a great day. Hope everybody has a good time. Always appreciate you listening to this show. Drop us a follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Make sure you follow the YouTube page. If you're here, tell us why you like the show. Drop that in the comments. And we appreciate the feedback. We do this for the Tifos. We do this for the fans. And we're going to keep rolling on Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny. And as always,
it's for the crown, baby.
Cheers.